On this episode of The Playbook, I have Danny Courtenraid, co-founder of One of Haves and 433 with over 55 million followers. He's also the CEO and founder of In Studio Ventures. And we're going to talk about the tricks on how you get the biggest stars in the world like Ronaldo and Messi and the biggest venture capital offices in the world like Adidas Family Office to do business with you. Join me with all these secrets and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host, David Meltzer.
I have Danny Courtenraid. He is the co-founder of One of Haves and 433, CEO and founder of In Studio Ventures. Welcome to The Playbook, Danny.
Thank you, David. I'm super excited to be here. Thank you for making the time.
Oh, well, I love an international entrepreneur because I think for the future, you have experienced the integration of North America into Europe and into the world culture. But more than just the culture, it's branding worldwide that becomes very interesting. And you have multiple businesses as described in your intro. But the first question I have is, where do you think your skills are aligned most with being able to effectuate brands, not just in Europe, but carrying it over throughout the world?
Yeah, great question. So what we've done and what we've built is a community, right, with 433. So we've built it from scratch into a very strong community. So we have 55 million followers on our channel, but that doesn't matter. It's really about the engagement with our fans. So we started this in Europe, where I'm from, and we started actually in the Dutch language, and we changed it very fast to English. So the Dutch people were complaining, but it was a very smart choice because we wanted to go global. We wanted to do it in a big way. So to build a community on a global scale, it's really about tapping into the culture, this culture of soccer in this, and how we call it football in Europe. That's what we've did and successfully. It's still growing about 10K per day. So I think we're doing something right. And it's really about the locker room fun. It's more about the locker room in those in the soccer world. So that's what we've did.
Yeah, and you build a platform that is very viral, meaning that people, you take content and utilizing what I call superstars as a bug light. So Cristiano Ronaldo, Messi, you know, all the greats, but you use them as bug lights and their audience to, in order to effectuate viral content that everybody wants to view, share, and participate or engage in. And you have a very loyal community. How important was it to utilize the right celebrities and athletes in order to effectuate that bug light approach to build, what, 55 million followers?
No, that's part of the community. So we are very well connected with those athletes like the Cristiano Ronaldos or the Paul Pogba's, or we did a campaign with Sergio Ramos. They are part of the community. So those players, they are following our channel and they also are active on this channel. So it's not that they're just following it, but they're also posting, reacting, and we're creating content together with them. So we call it also, we are with the players. And yeah, to answer your question, that's super important to be part of this community, have access. And to give you an example, so for example, we have hosts, they are flying around the world. And those athletes were standing just in a room when they were the journalist and our host. But the athletes were just walking towards our host and giving them a high five instead of the journalist. So they are more friends instead of a journalist. That's the point what I'm trying to make. So we are just... yeah, part of the whole soccer community. Yeah, so it is super important.
And it's not, like you said, superficial. There's an actual relationship that you have
exactly.
With those athletes and celebrities. And, you know, most entrepreneurs that fall into this space, everybody kind of dreams of building a platform like 433 and the others, but most fail. And have you learned any lessons from the athletes that are engaged in 433 about how to succeed as a champion entrepreneur the same way, you know, Messi and Ronaldo have succeeded on the pitch?
Yeah, for sure. And also, my business partner is a pro former soccer player, and we've been working a lot with those guys. And it's a lot about mindset, right? Those players, they know how to play on a on the highest level. We call it the Champions League in Europe. That's also how we compare it already. To play on that level, you need to be consistent and also take your setbacks, right? That's super important. But also in, and I don't explain it to you, but on social media, it's super important to stay consistent and be there every day. And I think a lot of people who are trying to build a channel or whatever, they try it for 30 days or 45 days and they think, okay, it doesn't work, and they stop posting or creating content. But of course, that doesn't work. We are putting so much time and effort in it with a whole team to create this content and be there exactly on the moment when somebody scores. You can see it also in our comments. We are right there. So we prepare already a lot of stuff so we can be there in the moment and post and build that relationship.
You know, it's one thing to build the relationships, to attract the athletes, the celebrities, to build an audience of millions of people. But then you decide you want to disrupt the venture capital world and create in-studio ventures. What is your venture builder model, and how disruptive is it?
Yeah, great question. So what we've built a couple successful companies, but that is definitely not easy, right, to build a successful company. So you have a lot of people, they want to be an entrepreneur and they want to build businesses. Also, if you look just at the figures, so if you look why companies are failing, so 32% is because of team. That's one of the things. Then you have 28% in terms of the ID. That's one of the reasons. Funding is 14%. So that it's not that much. People think the funding, the cash is the most important thing, but that's not the thing. Business and timing. The timing is super important. So 42%. So what we saw, this model of venture building, is what we believe. Okay, a lot of entrepreneurs are trying to build a company and they're failing. Why are we just joining forces? So we have experienced entrepreneurs in our team and specialists. So people who work for Google or Facebook. So experienced people on the one hand. And at the other hand, we have our own fund. So we will release a fund together with a lead that's backed by the Adidas family office. We join forces and we're going to invest in startups. So that's something what we are going to do on a global scale. Yeah, and build companies together with experienced founders.
Now, I have five criteria that I use. Obviously, I have two shows about pitching and funding. I sit on many boards of advisors, and have an LP and multiple venture funds. And I have a very strict criteria of what I look for, you know, when I'm being pitched or in a company in that venture scenario. What have you learned, Danny, about what you look for? Maybe you can give me your top three things that you look for when you're looking at these entrepreneurs and small business and startups.
Most important three topics: team.
Nice. He's a sports guy, ladies and gentlemen. You can't team. There is no I in team, he says.
No, for me, it's really about, and I mean that, it's about the people who are running the company. It's super important. Do they have the knowledge, the passion? Do they really understand what they're talking about? And is this the right person who can really scale a company? For me, that's, of course, there are much more reasons, but the people behind the company, they will make the difference. So I'm curious about your top three, but that's, for me, it's team is super important.
Yeah, mine's credibility number one, which obviously involves the individuals and the team. So I find that too many people lie, oversell, manipulate about sometimes little things. And then my focus goes on being a skeptic. What else are they exaggerating about? You know, so credibility to me is always number one. Two, I'm still a realist about something that you do very well with 433 and the others, is the emotional attachment. Yeah. You know, I want people to feel my business. And I think if I can feel it initially in the startup phase, in the venture phase, that other people will feel the frequency of the business as well. So there has to be an emotional attachment of some sort of, you know, impact that it has or feeling that it gives me. And then the last is just math. You know, I'm a straight math. And if the math is right, So there's so many businesses. I love the entrepreneurs. You know, I love the team. I'm emotionally attached, you know, especially the specialty that we both have, sports tech, you know, love. Oh, but then I'm doing the numbers and the market's not big enough, or it will cost too much to grow the audience, or, you know, there's more logistical risk. And I do, you know, want to talk about another thing. You do a really nice job of a golden rule of mine of analyzing timing and risk tolerance, you know, which is extremely important when you're investing with athletes in sports tech, utilizing, you know, partners like the Adidas family office and people like that. You really have to be clear on the timing and risk tolerance in a venture that, that you're looking at. What are some of the things that you look at timing wise and risk tolerance wise that help you to make that decision once you find the right team?
Yeah, no, great. That's exactly what we're doing with this venture studio. So we are involved very early stage. So we have the own academy in Berlin and in Lake Nona. So the startups can join this academy for 6 months. Then we're going to sit down with them and think about, okay, does it really, is it really a problem? And does it really solve this problem? That's the first phase. Then we go to the second phase and we're going to look, okay, can we scale this startup in the right market? And it's the timing and the risk. So we're going to deep dive in that part. And then we go to the business model and really going to scale it. So that's super important for us. I think, and that's also what I mentioned in the beginning for the 42%, the timing and the risk, that's where it will fail or will succeed. So that's a super important part of this venture studio.
You know, another thing that you and I have talked about offline is just understanding leadership, and your partner understands leadership. Your following community athletes, they all understand leadership. But it was interesting to me when you and I first met, you may not even remember this. You talked about a certain type of leadership, which really intrigued me and attracted me to want to invest in you, want to invest in your company and your team. And that's thought leadership. You know, a lot of people talk about leaders being able to motivate, but you were talking to me about thought leadership. Explain to me how important thought leadership is, and maybe define it first and then explain how you utilize thought leadership within the context of your company and the companies you invest.
No, I'm thinking about the moment when we met and when we discussed this topic, but it, of course, it's super important and the thought leadership also within our companies, right? To be on top of your business and really understand what's going on. And if we are building companies in the digital space, so helping the Nikes, Adidas, Pumas, Budweiser from this world and launching big campaigns. So you need to understand what's going on and be a thought leader in a specific space. So for us, it's super important. We're looking also for the right talent within our company. And they are thought leaders in this specific niche. So we have also specific verticals where we work in. So we are looking for the right people here on a global scale in the United States, but also in Europe, and looking for thought leaders and building our company on the skill we want. So, yeah.
And aligned with that thought leadership, as a last question, you know, you've been so successful with One of Halves, 433, and now with In Studio Ventures. What is your philosophy on success?
It's for me personally, it's a lot of things. It's not just being successful in my business, or it's for multiple pillars for me. So it's about being successful, of course, with your business, and you can have different KPIs. And see, you can look at the figures if you're doing successfully. We're doing a great job. We're building successful companies. We have a healthy company. But success for me is much more than that. It's also emotional, personal, spiritual. So all those things, I want to have the 6-7 pillars. I want those to have in place, and also be a good father, be a good husband. And then I feel happy. And that's for me success in the end.
Which is why I am attracted to you and your businesses is Danny's actually one of the 1,000 that I know in my lifetime will empower over 1,000 people to empower over 1,000 people simply to be happy, to make more money, help more people, and have more fun. Ever since the day I met you, Danny, that's what we've been able to do. I am not surprised at the super success that you continue to have with One Has 433 and now In Studio Ventures. I appreciate your wisdom beyond your years. You are an old soul and even a better entrepreneur. This is David Meltzer with Danny Corton-Reid here on Entrepreneurs, The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.